So last time on our synth series, we were messing around with modulation. We did AM modulation, FM modulation, ring modulation, Scoopy Doopy. Now we're getting really into the nerd territory. So this is for synth nerds who really want to get your fingers really deep in that synth. Today we're going to talk about tuning, pitch bending, all sorts of things that have to do with where the pitch is in the synthesizer. So we're going to talk shop and hopefully help you make use of yet another tool in the Tune Shed.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Tune Shed, the workshop for everything music from history, theory, creative process, production, you name it. We're here to become better music listeners, better creators, and better music lovers. I'm your host, Mick Blurry, and I'm here with my dear childhood friend and professional musician, Marty Gray. We're rolling up our sleeves and getting into it today. What is up, Marty?
Sleeves are rolled. Look at sleeves are rolled up.
We're grinding. We're getting into the depths of the synth today.
Yep. Yeah, we're getting into the multiple hours of research on my part synth stuff.
Ooh, so you've had your sleeves rolled for a while now.
Yeah, I'm scared I'm going to say the wrong thing. If I say the wrong thing and you happen to catch it, please email us at the Tune Shed, because this is a learning process for me, for Blake, for everybody involved. So yep. If you catch something that I say and you're like, that's not quite right, give us an email. I want to know what I'm doing, because it's hard. It's like a little difficult to do research on stuff that's like this specific.
Yeah. And I guess to sort of recap over the last couple episodes, since the Synths 101 episode, we've been kind of breaking down the synth one aspect at a time. And really, we're trying to get to a place where we kind of know what to look for every time we open a synth, or every time we get to play with a real synth in real life sometimes. We know what to look for. We know how to think about it. We know what creative decisions we get to make. And I think for both of us, it's kind of been just this wall of knobs for a long time. Like too many things in music are. It's just a wall of knobs. How do you make sense of it, especially when all these synths are different? So today we're a few steps in. We got some of our fundamentals pretty down, I would say. And we're going to start to get into the more nuanced area just to understand what the creative landscape is like there.
That's right. And I think this specific like synth nerd episode will be among the easier ones. Oh. And this one, I think the two episodes that we're about to do will go very closely together. So the next episode, we're going to talk about voices and tuning do go hand in hand. And so we'll really like start to play with a lot of the sounds on the second episode of this little two-part mini sandwich thing. But let's get into it. Let's talk about tuning. So as you all may have noticed from the modular stuff, every synth there's a knob that controls the tuning, right? And it's usually a global tune. So if it's just one oscillator, like in a modular setup, you'll have a big knob where you can change the frequency of the wave that's coming through, right? Mm-hmm. So you can make it go woo, just by turning that thing. Obviously, most synths, you know, big synths are set up to where you press a MIDI key and that note comes out of the synthesizer.
Right.
However, there usually is an option to play with the global tune of a synth. Right. Hmm. And what that means is that usually A equals 440, right? So like an A on your keyboard will play 440 hertz. And that's sort of like the standard. So when you mess with that global tune knob on a synth, you're changing A equals number. So you're making the whole synth go down and go
up. So everything's sort of in reference to A. So normally when you just open up a synth, A is 440. All the other keys are in reference to it. And if you hit some other key, it says, hey, I know the frequency that you want the oscillator to start with. And then it goes through all the other things happening in the synthesizer that make the sound what it is, and then comes out, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, let's just pull up a massive patch that I just recalled, like, some pad.
Yeah.
Just a pad, whatever.
Nice.
If I go over to the global tab, and I look in this box, There is a box that says global tune. It's not a knob, it's just a box.
Okay.
But if I mess with it, I mean, I can really change the whole thing. And notice how the chord goes up and down, right? The
Yeah.
whole entire synthesizer just goes. And that was messing with the, I mean, it looks like a 0.00, so I was changing it stepwise.
Right.
But the little number is cents, so I can. There's a way to fine tune it.
So the cents are like the things in between the semitones, like in between the notes on a keyboard, essentially.
Right. So I could make this synth a little bit flat for some reason if I wanted to.
I feel
Like
like
if I.
sometimes that does kind of add a little bit of color, especially if it's a pad, like it's kind of a background thing. Like you don't want it to be 100% flat, but you know, just a couple cents can make it kind of stick out in a nice way or kind of just add to other parts.
Precisely. Yeah, and it can be useful if you're working with, I mean, let's say you get guitar stems from someone who, for some reason, their whole guitar was flat, and you just need to like detune the entire synth to
All
accommodate
right.
for it. That can work. But yeah, like having a synth that's maybe 20 cents flat or sharp can give it like a really uneasy feeling. Like that can be fun. That can be
And
fun to do.
actually, another cool trick, speaking of this, Jacob Collier's song, what's it called? I was obsessed with it
Don't
for a
remember.
minute and I'm forgetting what it's called, but there's a double chorus at the end of the song. And between the two, he goes up half a key, half key, not a semitone, but a half a semitone.
A quarter
So
tone.
you almost don't, yeah, quarters,
Yeah.
doing the math there, but you almost
Yeah.
don't hear it when you hear the song. Like, I don't hear it, but that second chorus just has a little bit more life to it, a little bit more energy. And once you know, you can hear it. I mean, probably you with like a more trained ear can hear it right away. But I saw an interview too. He was talking about, I think it was Ty Dolla $ign who's on the song as well. And just like he just flawlessly sang, you know, a quarter tone up, which is really, really
That is
cool and
cool.
impressive.
Yeah, that's
But that's
sweet.
another cool way to kind of use that nuanced tuning.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you can, I mean that does give the whole song an uplifting effect. The opposite
Totally.
is true for if you sync the whole tuning of a song. I actually have a song that does that. It's a song called Subtle Love. It's on my first
Ooh.
album, and it was like I was also obsessed with this Jacob Collier idea that you could like shift the whole tuning of the song. And
Yeah.
I think I went with like 30 cents or something, which is a little more than a quarter tone.
Yeah.
But I sunk the whole chorus down a little bit to give it like this like
You know, that's
feeling.
interesting too, because it makes me think, you know how sometimes people say, okay, what's like the best major key? And everyone's like, well, it's D major, it's F major. And of course, they're all the same, but technically they do have, maybe you could argue they have different flavors. That's a whole nother debate. But it makes me think about this detuning. So you're taking it to a place where most songs we hear in Western culture are in major or minor keys, maybe one of the modes. Shout out to our mode series. Go check those out if you know what those are. Those are fun to play with. But most of the time it's major and minor songs, especially if you're talking about Western pop. So if you detune it an abnormal amount, all of a sudden you're in a frequency space that a lot of ears are actually not used to. Right? And
Yeah.
that must do something. You must be more used to hearing songs in sort of the normal frequencies.
I think that's true. I mean, there are multiple studies that you can source where the average person is actually able to sing the correct note of most of the like recognizable pop songs,
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so I think there is some sort of truth to, do different keys sound different or do different tonal centers sound different? I think
Yeah.
at least your ability to recall the right thing is like on the table. But
Yeah.
also, I do think that different keys sound different. I don't know, like it may just be a melody thing or like maybe a vocal thing for certain vocalists or like, yeah, the top
Totally.
note like feels way more powerful in this key. But I do
Yeah.
think like when you play something on the piano, I do think C major sounds different than D major. It's just like I just do.
Yeah.
And it's there are different frequencies, so I think there's some truth to that for sure. I don't
Yeah, it
know what
makes
the truth
sense.
is.
Especially makes sense like with the voice, because different areas of your voice have different control and things like that. Also with the keyboard, you might be very comfortable playing in one key. It just feels different playing in another key. So maybe your instinct is different as a musician. Your hands go naturally to different places. But there's probably an audio element to it as well. And that's why I was fascinated by your idea that you brought up a few episodes ago. I'm forgetting which episode, where you can essentially just play the black keys on your keyboard, but shift that to any key you want through the computer. So you're playing the black keys, but you're not necessarily playing like some pentatonic scale. Like you can change it to whatever notes you want them to be. And it kind of makes this mismatch between what audio you're actually hearing and what your fingers are used to hearing. And I feel like that can kind of bring you into another fun creative space. That was a really cool idea.
Yeah, man, tuning. I mean, your brain is like, well, tuning is fixed. I can't, my synth can't be anything other than what it is, but man, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Like, you can really start playing with stuff. And remember, whenever there's a knob, you can send something to it. You can
So
send
you
an
can control,
LFO
you
to
can
it.
automate it.
You can mess with it, bro. So that's something we'll talk about.
It gets
Speaking of
very
which, it
techy, but this
does.
kind of brings us back to that idea. So this global tuning is your way to influence the whole synth at once, right?
Yep. Yeah, the whole entire thing.
That's
So
pretty sweet.
imagine if you wanted a synth to have that like VCR effect, where like everything that goes through like a VCR tape has a slight wobble.
Oh,
Imagine
okay.
just like a tuning wobble, like a whole tuning wobble, or even a slow wobble. That's like a very lo-fi idea.
Oh, you're
You
talking
know?
about like sending an LFO to the global knob and then setting the range low and just having the whole thing wiggle.
Just a little bit. Why not? Like that's like the vinyl
Whoa.
wobble too. Like vinyl sometimes, the whole entire song on a vinyl sometimes, if the vinyl is like warped or your plate is warped, it'll the whole song go, you know.
Whoa.
But
That is so cool.
my, you know. The next thing is your MIDI keyboard always has a pitch bend on it.
Oh yeah, those wheels on the side that make it go
And make
all
it go round
crazy.
and round. I mean, I might as well just, I might as, this is my MIDI keyboard. Don't make fun of me, I have the cheap one, but so do this one. That's your
Yep.
pitch wheel, and this is your mod wheel.
For those who can't see, it's just two wheels on the left side of a keyboard.
Two wheels, baby. One is stuck in the middle, and one is not stuck anywhere.
Right.
And so naturally, you can send parameters to these things. Usually, the pitch wheel is for pitch, but doesn't have to be. And usually, the mod wheel can sort of accommodate anything. Typically, it's for what we talked about last episode, but you can change the amount of ring mod that you have and sort of like play with that. Also, it's a very common thing for synth leads to bus a vibrato to that mod, the ring, the mod wheel. So if you push the mod wheel up, it'll go.
Oh, whoa.
Usually.
I like that a lot. That's really cool.
And that goes along with our like pitch thing, so we might as well demo it. So
Woohoo.
let's pull up Massive. Just a little quick tangent. Little quick tangenty tangent. Most synth leads are sort of structured this way. So let's go with like classic mono lead. That one doesn't. No. That one has a lot of vibrato anyway.
Yeah. Ooh.
Okay, cool. So this will just be an example of the pitch bend then. So I'm gonna share my screen real quick.
Yeah.
Reverse tangent. I'm not doing the vibrato thing anymore. I found one that works with the with the up and down. So if we go into Massive here, we have our whole thing. We want to go to oscillator. And I just happen to know where this parameter is in the synth because I know this synth. But there are other places to locate this same idea, right? In Massive it lives under os, this little tab, and you have this pitch bend thing. And it says up and down, right? What this is telling you is that if you pull your pitch bend all the way up, the whole synth is going to tune up two semitones, so a whole step. All right, so if I play a C and I pull the pitch bend all the way up, it should play D, so it should go. Yeah. If I
Lovely.
wanted to make it a different note, Like, for example, if I wanted to make it maybe go up a major third, which would be four semitones, I would switch it to four, and then I would want it to go. There you go. Good
Listen to
stuff.
that. Good stuff.
But like I was saying before with the global tune thing, for those of you on video, you can see, but Massive is cool because it has the numbers on the right of the decimal point. Those are steps, right? So they go up stepwise.
Yeah.
But the numbers after, which are two digits, go up by semitones, which is sweet. So you don't have to be locked into steps, at least in Massive.
So that's actually a good notation because that's probably around kind of throughout different synths. It seems like a pretty easy way to do it.
Yeah, and it's just a little bit better than a knob. Like, whenever you're talking about tuning, you want to think, you want to have that separate thing. Okay, do I want to think about tuning in terms of steps, or do I
Yeah.
want to have it in terms of semitones?
Yeah,
Because a lot of
totally.
those classic oscillators, they were organized via hertz, which was really annoying. Because
Oh, no.
you'd have to get the exact right hertz in
Yeah.
order, it's yeah, it's very,
It's
very
just not the
irritating.
way musicians think. Like you don't say, "Hey, you're playing your A441. Can you make it an A440?" You
Yeah.
say it's a little
And
sharp.
unless you're playing with crazy like atonal noise machine synths from like Russia or something, you're not gonna like mess with hertz tuning on like the individual knob. Like
Yeah.
it just doesn't make sense, like you said.
Yeah.
Another thing that's cool about pitch is the ability for synths, especially synths like Massive, to have glide functions. So a lot of times, synths will have glide functions that tell you you have control over how fast a pitch is changing if you play different notes. So if I play like C to C, I think this is a multi-voice synth, so it's not going to work, but we need a monophonic, lead. That's what I want. Classic mono lead. And we'll talk about voices, mono versus poly, later. And
Gotcha.
this will all sort of like wrap into each other. It's all very confusing, but here we go. So each time I press a note and there's space in between the notes that I press, you'll hear the synth sort of start over, right? So the little wow, 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 that envelope that you're hearing
Oh,
through the
right,
filter,
yeah.
that's starting over. But if I play smooth, if I play legato, you're not hearing that wharr, wharr again. You're
Right.
hearing the actual voice bended in its pitch.
So that changes the envelope and the pitch bend, right? Or how does that work?
Well, so what the synth is reading for me is that I want the same note, the same voice to just shift up in pitch. I don't want to start the envelope over. Each time I
Oh.
start a fresh note with space before it, I
Yeah.
want the envelope to reenact again.
So it's actually reading your sustain level and just saying, "Hey, we're sustaining this note, and this note is now shifting in pitch as well. So go to the next note." And how quickly do you go to the next note? That's glide.
That's right. So if I
Ah.
pull up this oscillator, tab, and it's right next to the pitch bend. It's right next to the pitch bend section.
Yeah.
Here's the pitch bend section. Here's glide. And here's time. Time is important. So if I play an octave, you can kind of hear it. It's pretty quick. But if I pull that time knob up, the whole synth is moving in pitch.
Right.
Right? And keep in mind, this is a synth that's programmed not to play more than one note at a time. So that's mono versus poly, and we'll talk about that.
Got it. I feel like a lot of basses do this because,
Oh
basses
yeah,
in real life, you have the option to slide sometimes.
that's right. Yeah, and it works for synth leads too. If you only want to play one note,
Yeah.
you just want to like muddle around. But you can control this parameter too. See this little box underneath the knob? That means something can go into it. Ooh.
Ah, always look for empty boxes and
Always look
put
for empty
things into them.
boxes. Always look for options. Where should things come from? And keep in mind, things don't have to. Remember, a thing about this pitch and mod wheel nonsense is that this, the pitch and mod wheel, those are parameters. Those are modulation parameters. Just like an LFO, just like an envelope, those are it's ways to tell a knob what to do.
Right.
Right. So this mod wheel right here is essentially a knob. Like, it has a low setting and a high setting. And so you can route that mod wheel to anything you want. You can route it to the wavetable position. You can route it to the amount of modulation. You can route it to the tune for some reason you'd want to do that.
Serious, whoa. Like, it's almost overwhelming how many different options you have and what might be cool.
Exactly. And that's why it's nice to, like, start to understand these very simple things and, like, each concept sort of in nuggets. And then to look at the synth and look at what's being routed to what. Like, okay, this intensity thing. I don't know what intensity means, but it's coming from LFO 8. And LFO 8 is a square wave. So there's some sort of... I mean, this knob is going... Bam, 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 for some reason. I don't know why. Right. I can sort of hear it. You know?
Kind of gives it that like hard synth quality.
Yeah, it does. It's very leady.
So I like that. And kind of what I'm hearing here as we go through, you know, oscillators, envelopes, and now onto this, you know, these global functions, I guess, and glide and things like that. It's just more ways to make the synth sound more alive. When you go from one note to another, if it's just a hard like chop and restart the whole envelope every time, well, then it doesn't really sound like an instrument, because that's not what really happens on a bass or a cello or all the things that we're kind of, or maybe we are used to being the only instruments out there. And nowadays, of course, anything is an instrument, but what makes an instrument alive is this character. It's changing. You can express yourself in many ways on it, right? So it has all these different attributes that you can set. And that's probably why synths are confusing, is because there's actually a million things to control.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the frustrating thing for me has always been like making a synth sound interesting and alive and like not just like a freaking sine wave, you know? And it's always seemed very overwhelming to try and like craft something that feels unique. Hey, speaking of which, we should go to our synth that we're making.
Oh, let's make a synth. Oh, yeah, our pad, right?
Yeah, our pad. So we did a bunch of stuff to the mod stuff. We were modulating stuff. We have like a ring mod that's going blah, 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 and then there's this second oscillator that's sort of like creeping in and out. So,
by the way, I put this pad on the internet. People loved it.
Really?
I said it's a super basic thing we're making, and they're like, you know, what episode? Like, let's check this thing out. It's actually really nice. I was surprised how basic it is and how nice it actually sounds. Because a lot of times I don't want the most crazy synthesizer sound in the world. I want something that has character and it is kind of not it doesn't have to be realistic. That's not exactly the right word. But this thing has some warmth and some good, like, it's just nice without being like this insane jumping all over crazy synth, which a lot of synths are, which is fun too, of course.
Well, I mean, and we're also using a synth that's sort of programmed to be like vintage, like not a lot of stuff. We'll get into sequencers later and, you know, the steps that you have to take to like make a sequencer, how that applies. You know, this doesn't have a sequencer. This doesn't have a lot of like crazy bells and whistles. And as we'll see in a second, it really doesn't have a ton of like the tuning options that came with Massive, you know? But let's get into it.
Yeah. Will you remind me what our setup was for it? Just real basically.
Well, it's not even uncomplicated. It's not uncomplicated. it is kind of complicated now. Like,
this is what happens when you're learning about synths.
It's not uncomplicated. That is funny. We should make a merch that says "Since it's not uncomplicated."
It's not uncomplicated. Yeah, don't worry about it. It's not uncomplicated.
Don't worry about it. I mean, we're using almost all of the things that we have the ability to use. I believe, like, we're using both oscillators.
Yep.
We're using the ring mod.
Oh yeah, the ring mod. Yeah.
We're using the ring mod function. We have modulation coming into both mods for the filter. You can't see it happening because it's in the back end of the synth. But we have, yeah, we're using both LFOs. We're obviously using one of the envelopes for the amp. And I think the other envelope isn't doing anything.
Yeah,
We're
so it's more
using,
complicated than I thought, I
yeah,
guess.
I mean, we have some pretty cool steps. I mean, we're playing with like two other LFOs. So we're using two extra LFOs that we don't need to use.
Yeah.
So really, there's four LFOs coming into this thing.
But really, I feel like after we picked our waves in our envelope, everything after that has been changing at like 5% tops. It's just adding a little bit of life to it. And that
Yeah.
makes a big difference overall, but actually the overall quality of sound is just it's just moving a little bit more when you hold down a chord, really.
It's true. And I don't think we want to mess with the tuning too much on this. Like,
Probably not, yeah.
I mean, because here's the thing, on a pad, you're not really like playing with the pitch wheel all that much. You
Right.
know?
Usually do that on a lead or something.
Yeah, you're not like on a pad, you know? I guess we could, like,
Can we
I
do
mean,
just like one of the oscillators, have it move up and down in pitch just slightly? Something real gentle, or I don't know, I'm open to ideas.
well, it looks like, well, here's the oscillator mod right here. We have a glide function, so that's good, although we don't, well, we could use it. That might be interesting. What happens if we turn
Ooh.
it all the way up?
Play some chords here.
What the heck?
Whoa. Why does it
Okay,
get
wait.
quieter and then louder?
I don't know. I'm not
That must
really
be because
sure.
of like our ring mod or something else that's moving up and down, no?
I think you might be right, although
Let me watch
it
those
also
knobs.
could be the voices, where the voice is coming from. And again,
Oh.
we really have to talk about voices pretty soon here,
That's
but
next, right?
so what happen, yeah, what happens if we turn the glide maybe 25%?
Yeah.
So okay, not, I don't really hear anything. What
Yeah,
about
me neither.
50%? 50%. Why is that so much different? Okay, split the difference.
Yeah. It really starts, goes up quick.
That's kind of cool. Not
That
gonna
is cool.
lie.
So that's a little bit of detuning, essentially. That's what it kind of sounds like, but it ends up getting to the right tune.
Yeah,
And
it's like
that's pretty
gushy.
fresh.
The kind of gushy. Ooh. I'm not sure what this
Ooh.
knob glide offset is.
Maybe that's.
I'm kind of scared of it.
Oh, I think I have it, I guess. Does the glide start?
What the heck?
I have no
What
idea.
the? What the heck?
Does the glide just like start not on the note that you're on, but somewhere else?
Oh.
Like, for example, if you play at
Oh, you're
A, the glide
totally
offset
right.
is way to the left. It actually starts gliding from lower.
Yeah. Oh, you're totally right. That's totally what's happening.
That's weird. It's like hard to pick out.
Yeah, what the heck? Nice ear. Nice
I actually
work.
didn't do it by ear. I just guessed what offset meant.
Oh.
Offset.
Offset. You just read
Yeah.
the
I
word. I
just.
like that. I'm also not so sure what soft sync is.
Would it sync to?
Don't know.
Like, would it sync to our tempo or our grid or something? Or to some an oscillator?
Soft sync? Yeah, I'm not sure.
To an
Maybe.
LFO?
I don't even know.
Who knows?
Because there's only one. There's LFO2 being routed into this.
So yeah, maybe it's using LFO2. Is LFO2 on? Oh,
Yeah,
so
this is
yeah.
feeding. LFO2 is feeding into this somehow.
Oh.
I'm not
I feel like
sure
it
what
should
it's
sync
doing.
should mean syncing up with the LFO that's coming in.
Sure.
But why soft? I don't know. I'm just totally guessing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not hearing anything, so whatever.
Whatever.
We have vibrato.
Vibrato.
Doesn't seem to be doing much. And that, again, that would be more of a synth lead thing.
Yeah.
PW.
PW.
I don't know. No clue. But again, we don't have to know that because it's not doing anything.
Exactly.
I love the little glide that we added.
Oh, the glide is great.
It's cool. And up here we have detune and transpose.
Oh, so those are global things again, right?
Yeah, these are whole synth-wide things. It's actually transposed negative 12. So it's
Oh.
going down an octave to where we want it to be.
Should we go back to zero and see what that sounds like?
Sure, I mean, I'm just expecting it to be an octave higher, but so
Yeah.
here's I'll play that and then I'll go to zero. Yep, just an
Yep.
octave higher. I mean, whatever, let's keep it at 12.
I kind of like it lower. I'm used to that now.
It's kind of it's how we had the patch on like the patch was already set to that, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Also,
How it grew up.
detune. So there's our semitone option. Okay, so just for giggles, and we have like 5 minutes left. Let's try another LFO, and let's do that VCR thing that we were talking about. So set really slow.
Okay, so now we have a wave going slow, and we're gonna map that to.
The detune. We're gonna go 50
Oh, yeah.
and 51%. So we're gonna like the parameters are right in the middle. So
Oh.
the margin is so small.
So the detune is just gonna go back and forth between 50 and 51%.
Yep, really slow. So we'll press configure again. It's a little refresher. Click on detune. So now it's an editable parameter, quote unquote, and we will map this to the detune. So we can see this knob moving the slightest bit, and we can see, yep, so here we go. I could use more. Let's go
I could use
53.
more. I can't quite hear it.
53. I could use even more. Let's go 40. 40 to 53. Wonder if that'll do
Whoa.
anything. That's fun.
That almost doesn't even sound like a detune. It sounded like it was going with something else, and the volume seemed to drop.
Let's make it faster. Now that's really a VCR thing.
Yep. This synth has a lot of character.
Do you kind of want to keep it?
I want to keep it.
I want to keep it. It's super like, whoa.
Yeah, like I kind of liked both versions with and without it, but I really like this one. It's like it's almost singing in a way. It's like a something in the distance singing that's a little bit, it's got some emotion to it.
Agreed. I like it. I like it.
That's a beautiful thing.
That's tuning. Tuning's fun. Don't skip out on it because it's important.
Don't sleep on tuning. All
Don't sleep on tuning.
right, well, that seems like pretty much good for tuning at the tune shed, eh?
Should I play us out?
Yeah, play. I was gonna say that. Play us out, Marty. Let's hear it.
We're in lo-fi world. This from scratch. Yeah,
This is so cool. I love that thing, man. Ooh. All right.
all
Well,
right.
I guess till next time, everybody. Much love.
Bye.